How we all doing? Good. We're recovering. Not quite the first session after TechFest, but the second or third. So I've got my, as you can probably hear, my sweet, sexy, husky voice going on. And that's what happens after a week of speaking at TechEd. So I was told in the speaker room that I'm actually bringing the sexy back to Windows Azure, which is, I'm not sure if that's a compliment or just freaked me out, but take it however you wish. So as you may have noticed, in your mini guides, it says the session will be presented by someone called Mingfei Yang. Now, I'm neither female nor Chinese, so in case you hadn't figured it out, we had to do a speaker swap. She had troubles getting here, and we needed to pick this up at the last minute. So apologies about the speaker swap. We really wanted to get her down. She's one of the program managers on the Azure Media Services team. but it'll still be a good session anyway, I hope. So let's go and have a look. So today we're gonna be speaking about video, a lot about video, okay? Who works in the media industry producing videos, consuming videos, that kind of stuff, delivering videos? Cool, all right? A couple of you guys. Who's heard about Windows Azure Media Services today? Cool. Anyone actually signed up to the CDP and playing with it yet? Okay, not yet. Cool. I hope that answer to that question will be slightly different, you know, come tomorrow. So we're gonna take a look at a couple of things today. The first one is, you know, the explosion of video on the web. And apparently this guy's really popular. I don't have any clue who he is, I promise. But apparently he's really popular and millions and millions and millions of people like him, whoever he is. but there's just some interesting stats from YouTube, right? I mean, 800 million unique users a month to YouTube. They upload 72 hours of video every minute to YouTube. So the amount of content that is going through that site is just ridiculous. And if we didn't like Justin Bieber, who can't like a cute, funny cat? But the point is that, you know, the explosion of video is just kind of getting nuts. In a couple of years' time, more than 50% of all traffic on the web is going to be video, okay? which is pretty significant. And it's not just cute videos of, you know, pretty-looking teenage boys or cats doing cool things. We're actually building real business applications, and people are building real businesses on top of video and the web, okay? Who's heard of Netflix or Hulu? Unfortunately, not many people can get access to them from New Zealand. There are ways, but I can't tell you that. But anyway, Netflix and Hulu, if you actually go to the US, encourage you to try Netflix out. It's an amazing experience. You literally just kind of click on a DVD and say stream, and the DVD starts playing in full high def. It's ridiculous. So Netflix and Hulu together, they've got more than 30 million subscribers around the world. An average of a DVD that they render and stream kind of over the web is a gig of data per hour. Okay, now, what's important with Netflix is you don't download the video and then watch it locally. It's actually just streaming live over the web. Okay, 50% of all US traffic in peak hours is coming from one of those two sites. Okay, all internet traffic in the US is coming out of, you know, those two sites during peak hours. And what's interesting, in the last couple of years, they've noticed that now more than 10% of their traffic is going to a mobile device. Okay. So before, people were watching on PCs, then they started kind of watching on internet-connected TVs and Xboxes and that kind of stuff. Now people are actually streaming that content live to their mobile devices, iPads, iPhones, Windows phones, those kind of things. Okay. So what's driving this explosion of web or video over the web is actually the rich, smarter devices that we now have. We've got Xboxes, we've got Windows phones, we've got smart TVs, we've got Surfaces, we've got tablets, iPads, you name it. These are the devices that people are using to consume video over the internet today. Okay? 50 million internet-connected TVs have been sold this year alone. 150 million plus capable video phones out there. Okay? These are significant numbers, and these are the markets that people like Netflix and Hulu and all of them are kind of targeting. And it's not just, you know, overseas. When I speak to people in New Zealand, they say, well, yeah, that's cool. We'll never get that kind of stuff down here. But we've got TVNZ On Demand. We've got iSky. We've got, you know, just recently announced the launch of QuickFlix in New Zealand. Anyone tried out QuickFlix yet? Okay. And what's your experience like so far? Yeah. So they're lacking a bit of content, but that'll come, right? But the experience, not quite as good as Netflix in the US, but hey, it's not a bad experience. I can watch a DVD live on the web from QuickFlix. Pretty good. Okay. So that's kind of where we're going. And that's the a bit of background and a bit of kind of context of why Microsoft sat out and thought, let's build something called media services. Okay. The reason we did that is because of that kind of explosion of video on the web. So what is Windows Azure Media Services? Okay. It's a bunch of services that we've built that all media companies are going to want and going to need. Okay. It's built on top of the Windows Azure kind of platform. And what's really, really good, and you'll see in the next couple of slides, that it's flexible, it's easy to use, it's extendable, okay? And it's a way to kind of create this partner ecosystem that you'll be able to deliver any media to any device live over the internet, okay? So in a nutshell, this is kind of media services, right? And it's made up inside the cloud of a whole bunch of different components. We're going to take a look at each of these kind of components in a bit of detail coming up. So keep those in mind, but we'll go through each one in a little bit more detail soon. All right, so the first one that you want to do is ingestion. Okay, so how do you get that media content into the cloud in the first place to be able to deliver it? Okay, so we've made a couple of different ways out of the box. Okay, you can upload via HTTP or HTTPS. Okay, you can even do UDP uploads with a partner of ours. Okay, so UDP upload to get a video into the cloud through a UDP upload is much, much quicker than an HTTP upload. So we've started kind of creating this partner ecosystem around ingestion. So you'll be able to go to different partners and with their tools and their capabilities, kind of be able to upload some of that stuff. You can also do things, and you'll see that there's a number of kind of different steps to Windows Azure Media Services. But you don't have to use the entire end-to-end platform. You can kind of pick and choose what you want to use depending on your business need. Okay, so if you choose to pre-encrypt something before you upload it, you can do that quite happily, okay? So one of the things is once you've ingested the video, once the video content is there, what do you want to do with it, okay? You generally want to encode it. Who's done much work with encoding videos, okay? How easy is it to encode videos? Not only the CPU kind of capabilities that, you know, to re-encode a video, but video encoding is a bit of a pain, right? Because if I've got this kind of device, it wants that kind of encoding. If I've got this device, it wants that kind of encoding. If I've got this device, it wants that kind of encoding. If I've got this kind of a network connection, I should encode it this way. If I've got high broadband network, I've got to encode it that way. And what we find happens is that, you know, these companies that are producing this stuff, they end up with one video file stored in about a billion different ways because it's all these different encodings and all different formats and all different quality. And it just becomes an absolute nightmare to manage. Okay. So Windows Azure Media Services has got a whole bunch of encoding capabilities. All right, so you can encode stuff with a bunch of encoders that we've given you. All right, so encoders like H.264, VC1. What's also really nice is that if you've got your own encoding, okay, so you've got a proprietary encoding, for instance, you can actually pre-encode stuff before you ingest it. Okay. Or you can use some of the partner encoding, the partner ecosystem again for encoding. We've partnered up with specific partners that you can use through Windows Azure Media Services. Okay, and if you're a partner building encoding solutions, you know, come speak to us, and we'll want to be able to get you into that kind of encoding ecosystem. Okay, so once it's ingested, once it's encoded, now you need to package it up. Okay. And you need to be able to package it up so that, you know, you can deliver it down. Now, one of the cool things that we support is this concept of dynamic remux. Okay, so we'll take an MP4 file, and as we're busy streaming it, we'll dynamically remux it or mix it up, okay, into multiple different formats for you. So you don't actually have to save multiple different versions of a video. Okay, you save one MP4, and we will dynamically remux it as we stream it down if we want to. So content protection, we give you a whole bunch of stuff around content protection. Okay, so content protection becomes really important when you want to monetize the stuff, right? So when you want to sell a video, you don't want someone to kind of be able to download it or and then distribute it or, you know, share it or put it on a DVD and post it to someone's video site or whatever you want to do. So how do you actually control who watches the stuff? So we support out of the box play ready in common encryption and that kind of stuff. But again, there's the partner ecosystem. Okay, so we all have other DRM kind of partners coming on board, and you'll be able to use different ways to content protect your videos. So on-demand streaming, if you choose and you want us to kind of stream the video for you again, all right, remember, you don't, these are all the building blocks. You don't have to use them all. You can use one, you can use two, you can use them all. It's up to you. If you want us to stream the video, okay, we've got a managed streaming service that kind of just works, all right? It's guaranteed bandwidth, so when you have the content, one of the things that you can do is you can say, well, I want to buy a guaranteed kind of bandwidth. Okay, and you'll pay for the tiers of bandwidth that you want to guarantee for your service, and the better bandwidth you want, the more you'll pay, the less bandwidth you want, the less you'll pay, okay? It's got automatic recovery, high availability, distributed globally around the world, okay? We use our own CDN, the Azure CDN, but you can also, again, integrate with other CDNs. So if you want to use Akamai CDN, if you want to use Amazon CDN, if you want to use your own, that's also fine, we don't mind, okay? You just plug in the CDN that you want to be able to plug into. And again, like I said, while we're busy doing the streaming, we do the dynamic remux for MP4 files. Okay, so for the dynamic remux, it becomes really cool because you store the MP4 file once, okay, and as we stream it, we'll change the context for you on dynamically, on demand. Okay, and that means that you can take one file and deliver it to multiple formats, but you only save it once, you only store it once, therefore you're only going to pay for one file in storage. You're not going to pay for 10 files in storage. All right, we can then dynamically package it up, encrypt it in one step, and we can smooth stream, dash stream, HLS stream, whatever you want. Okay, so how do you use media services? Okay, so those are all the components, and there's a whole bunch of them. You can see them all in the middle, right? We've covered integration, encoding, format conversion, content protection. We've also got live streaming, which we'll talk about a bit later. And coming soon, we'll have analytics, okay? And I'll show you some of the stuff that we're talking about or we're thinking about with analytics. And advertising, okay? So you'll actually be able to do a YouTube-esque kind of advert at the beginning of your video if you wish. And you can create those ad policies, control them, whatever you want, okay? So how do you use this thing? Well, a typical workflow, if you want to do an end-to-end kind of workflow, you would, as a broadcaster or a network operator or someone who's producing the content, you would upload it to us, either HTTP, HTTPS, or UDP, okay? And then you would send it through the workflow. So once it's ingested, you would encode it, you would convert the formats, protect it, and eventually you would stream the content down to the user. That's the end-to-end kind of workflow. Okay? But like I said, you don't have to do that. If you want to firstly, for instance, do content protection on it, you want to encrypt it or pre-do something to the video, you can do that and then just give it to us straight away. You can pre-encode it and give it to us, okay? So you don't have to go through our encoding steps. What's also cool is that if you've got your own analytics process, you don't have to use our analytics. You can just say to us, okay, I'm going to tap in, call our APIs, and feed it straight into your own analytics process, right? All sorts of capabilities, and we want to make this as flexible and as pluggable kind of way as possible. So, again, in this slide, it's kind of trying to illustrate that when we stream the stuff out, we'll go to multiple different devices, okay? Multiple different kind of ways of buying it, so you'll be able to rent videos, subscribe to them, purchase them, whatever you want to do. Deliver it out of our CDN. If you don't like the Windows Azure CDN and you want to use some of Akamai's features, you can actually then use the Akamai or any other kind of CDN. So, in a nutshell, okay, Windows Azure, the value behind Windows Azure Media Services. So why would you want to use Windows Azure Media Services as opposed to doing all of this stuff yourself? Okay. And the simple answer is that it's highlighted there in blue for you to read. All right. It's quick, it's easy, it's flexible. Okay. You can use pre-built stuff that comes out of the box in Windows Azure. You can build your own. Okay. You can do first-party or third-party technologies. So if you want to use ours or someone else's, it's powerful, cost-effective. Okay. It's scalable, reliable, cost-effective infrastructure. It runs on the same kind of infrastructure that Windows Azure uses. So if you're a content producer in New Zealand, you can distribute your videos, okay, across the world using our infrastructure. You don't have to put that on your own infrastructure in place to do that. Okay, so if we take a look at what we mean by global footprint, we've got three major regions, being the US, Europe, and Asia. okay? And we've got 8 data centers and media services available in all 8 of those data centers, okay? Now that's where the main processing and streaming will happen. But when you hook in the CDN, right, our CDN, we've got 28 growing every day, edge nodes available around the world. The closest one to New Zealand will be Sydney, okay? And I haven't heard of any plans to bring an edge node closer than Sydney. But Sydney's pretty quick. You get about, on average, about 30 to 50 millisecond latency to Sydney, okay? Versus Singapore, which is where the closest data center is, which is about 180 millisecond latency. So Sydney's not bad. It's actually pretty good. Okay, so I just want to show you an example of a sample app that we're building that's going to demonstrate what we mean by how you can build on top of things. So this is a sample application that the media services team is building. We're going to publish the sample code for this app. You'll be able to download it from here. Okay. Actually, you'll be able to download it from the media services page. But basically what this app is this app says, well, I'm Contoso online video provider. Okay. Contoso is an amazing company, right? They do everything from banking to retail to online video platforms. Anyway, so the point of this demo is to say, okay, this is how, as a content provider, you can actually extend on top of our platform. Okay, so you can build stuff using our APIs to actually create an experience for your users. So there's a bunch of APIs that manage assets. So if you click on into assets, you can, you know, in the sample app. Interesting. Okay, internet is working. Oh, there. It's just a bit slow. It's a sample app. It's probably running on like an extra small instance somewhere. Okay, so basically what this is it's just a way to kind of see what assets I've got. Okay, so we talk about video in the context of media services as an asset. Okay. And yeah, you'll see I've got some output assets, I've got some input assets, okay? This output asset, if I have a look at it, you'll see here it's in an MP4 format. So basically, I've uploaded an MP4 and I've just said, look, make it available directly for kind of download. You'll see this one over here is available in HLS. This one's, again, MP4. This one, you know, a bunch of different ones. There's a smooth streaming one, okay? So if I click on this one, oops. If I click on, like, that one, for instance, I can play it. I can try to play it out in different players. Okay, I can come in here and I can see the URLs. So I can, because this is a smooth streaming URL, you'll see that it actually comes from an origin server, and one of those origin servers is ours that runs in media services, runs on Azure. Okay, so that origin server is where you'd stream it from. There's a dash URL. Who knows what dash is? Anyone? Okay, dash is a new. So Microsoft does smooth streaming. Apple does HLS. Someone else does one of the other ones. Adobe does a different one. Okay, Dash is some new format, open source format that we're hoping is going to be adopted by everybody. Okay, because then there will be one format that everyone will use. It'll make for a very nice world to live in, where we don't have all these different kind of formats. But the point is, as well, we live in that world that has all these different formats. That's what media services is here to help you with. So, for instance, if I wanted to, I could kind of take this guy and I could actually add an ad policy. I can create a new policy. I can preview the ad playback on the video. Okay, I can do things like delete my asset, refresh my asset. I can also come in here and go to templates. Okay, templates. So the point of this app, when we publish the source code for this app will show you how to use all of the REST APIs that we're going to have. So how to create an asset, how to delete an asset, how to monetize an asset. And you'll be able to do that all through code, or be able to build a portal like this that your people can kind of come in and manage your assets for you. So templates are templates of jobs, okay? So we'll talk a bit about what a job and a task and all that kind of stuff is. But I can come into templates, for instance, And here I have a template that says I'm the MP4 to smooth streaming template. Okay, so if I click on the template, I don't know why the site's so slow. It's horrible. So there's the template, okay, and you'll see the template that we actually save templates. There's an XML format for a template, okay, but it basically a template takes in an input asset, okay, so one of those assets I've got, it outputs an output asset, it's got a bunch of tasks in it, okay, and then you could actually chain these things up together. So if I go into jobs, you know, for instance, I can create a job. I can come along and say, create me a new job. I can give it a name, like 10... ends demo job. And from the job, you actually pick a template. So I say it's MP4 to smooth streaming. You can go next. You can pick my asset, for instance. Okay, go next. And then I can actually start the job. And that job will then start in the background. And there's ways, events, and progress info that you can actually poll the job and see, hey, how far are you? When is the media going to be ready? That kind of stuff. we'll have a bunch of reports. So as part of media services, you'll be able to access certain kinds of reports on your jobs, on your assets, on your stats, on your usage. So you'll be able to see your daily, monthly kind of processing time, those sort of things. And then there'll be live streaming kind of capability. So watch out. When you sign up for this app, you'll go to the Azure portal, and the sample code will be published soon, as soon as we finish building it. This report stuff isn't working yet, so I can't click on a link. So that's why we haven't published it yet. But it will be published soon. So that's kind of the idea. You can either use the stuff directly, you can build your own portal, you can build your own kind of, you know, mobile client. So if you had a mobile client and you wanted people to be able to manage the assets, they could do whatever they wanted to do. All right, so let's take a quick look at the architecture of what we've been looking at. So that's media services, okay? And everything that's in blue is provided for you. Everything in green is provided. And then we've got this concept of a build-in, okay? So what I showed you there with that Contoso kind of provider was a build on top of. So they've built something on top of our architecture. There's also the concept of building in stuff, okay? So as we get these different partners in the ecosystem, they're going to be bringing stuff in, and they're going to be plugging it into Azure Media Services. Okay, like I said, built and runs on top of Windows Azure, and it's exposed by a bunch of REST APIs. And using those REST APIs, you can build on top of the platform, like I showed you with the Contoso one. Okay, so sitting next to that is our CDN and a bunch of partner CDNs and origin servers and some caching stuff. And then we've got capabilities to be able to stream to the following devices: Windows 8, iOS, Xbox, HTML5, a whole bunch of them, okay? We've even got some adaptive streaming porting kits. So if you want to do adaptive streaming to an iOS device, okay, there's a porting kit that'll actually let you do that kind of stuff to an iOS device. So these are our partners that we have currently, okay, so outside of Microsoft. So we've got partners already for ingesting, encoding, pretty much everything, all right? If you're a partner or you're a company that's building stuff in the encoding space or the CDN space or the origin server space, and you want to be a part of this partner ecosystem, please get hold of us, okay? If you're using media content and you're a broadcaster or a producer of content and you use a partner today that's not in there and you'd like to see them in there, please come speak to us because we want to grow this partner ecosystem. Okay, so if you take a look at the SDK and the API, all our APIs in the Windows Azure world, if you've used Windows Azure at all, you'll know we've got APIs for everything. And they're all REST-based APIs, and they all use OData. Okay, so it's simple. Write to a REST API. You can do the standard verbs. Okay, so that's how you would get an asset, put an asset there, whatever you want. There's a manage.net library. Okay, so that's already available. So when you sign up for the preview, you'll get the SDK and the tools that you can download. There's a managed library there, so you don't have to kind of do everything in REST. And coming soon, the guys are working on it, will be a Java library as well. So if you do your work and stuff in Java, there will be a Java managed library as well. So let's take a look at how we set the stuff up and how we manage the stuff. Okay. So Let me jump across back to this machine. So when I go into my Azure management portal, you'll see I've got media services down here because I'm part of the program already. If you're not and it's not there, what you can kind of do is you can come up here, come up here, go to account. Right, let me not do that, sorry. It's trying to log me on using my corporate credentials, which is never gonna work. So so to sign up for the portal, you would go in here, you would come to the account, you would go to preview features. And then you would get an error that looked like that. Hold on, I'll fix that in a second. It's the problem when I've got at least 16 different live accounts with really obscure passwords that look like that. So if anyone's taping on video, remind me to change my live login. Okay, so hopefully now, if I go to preview features, I'll see a screen that looks like that. And those are the preview features that you can actually sign up for. So you can sign up for media services, you can sign up to mobile services, virtual machines, virtual networks, websites. The one we're interested in today is media services, and you would hit a button over here that would say sign up. Okay. You would sign up based on availability of the preview. It may take a couple of minutes to, or even a day or so, to kind of get you into the program. But we seem to have enough capacity, and we're bringing people on pretty much instantly. So just sign up, and the next time you go back into the portal, not that portal. So it took me back to the old portal, but I want to use the new portal. Okay, so in the new portal, you'll see a new little icon appear here called Media Services. And if you go to Media Services, when you first come in here, you'll actually see like a Getting Started wizard. But basically what you do is you click New, you say Quick Create, you give it a name, okay, so TENS Demo, for instance. You pick your region, okay, and you can see it's available in all the regions. So the closest region to us is Southeast Asia. Storage account, so this is where you're actually going to store your content. So this is where you're going to store your videos. All right, so what I've done is, you see I've got multiple storage accounts. Now in the Azure world, you actually don't get charged for the storage account. You just get charged for the stuff that's in the storage account. But storage accounts have like throughput limits on them and that kind of stuff, so I actually take my app and I usually spread it out across multiple storage accounts. So pick your storage account that you want to put your stuff in. I'll put it in there. And if you've got multiple subscriptions, which I've only got one. So you create your media service and it'll take a couple of minutes to provision. But basically what will happen is you'll get something that looks like that. Okay, and you'll be able to get a dashboard that'll show you what's actually been happening on your media services as well. So you can actually see there's some diagnostics in around midnight on the 4th of September, I started streaming content out of diagnostics, okay? And you'll be able to see how much storage capacity I'm currently using, not very much, 1.17, that's not a very big video file. I'll be able to go to linked resources, and kind of see what linked resources I'm using. So I'm currently using a media encoder. I'm currently got an origin server going. Okay. So this is kind of, no, that's not what I wanted. Apologies. Oh, you can, there you can see TEN's demo is actually provisioned. One of the things I want to show you, and we'll get to it when we get to the code, but it's important that we remember what these keys are, okay? Because access to the media services is going to be controlled by a key. So same as access to our storage accounts are controlled by these keys, you need to remember that key. And if you want to regenerate the key, you can regenerate the key. These buttons down here, sync primary key and sync secondary key. Remember I picked a storage account that media services is going to use? Well, if somebody compromises my storage account, okay, and I regenerate my storage account key, I need to come in here and actually then say sync my media services back to my storage account, because otherwise the media services account won't be able to write to storage. Okay. So that's what those kind of stuff is for. So that's pretty much it. That's how easy it is to set up a media services in the new portal. So a workflow, typically, again, you would ingest, you'd do some encoding, converting, encrypting, or some processing. You would then do some managing. You would then kind of pick how you want to deliver it. And you can deliver it on demand streaming, on live streaming. You can actually download the content and deliver it from an on-premises server if you wish. Okay? And then you can choose what kind of device and what kind of format you want to deliver it to. So the demo that I'm about to do for you, quick little walkthrough. I've got an MP4 file that I'm going to package up. And I'm going to say I want adaptive streaming. Who knows what adaptive streaming is? Okay, a couple people. A couple of people don't. So adaptive streaming is the ability to kind of have multiple encoding stuff in the video. So as I start kind of playing the video, it'll start off on the lowest kind of common denominator. So it'll start off on small resolution and low kind of quality. But then as the client detects its bandwidth capabilities and the quality of the connection, it'll communicate back to the server and say, hey, I've actually got a really high-speed kind of connection. Please can I have, you know, high available or high broadband content? And the server will then just start streaming. It'll change. It'll adapt. And it'll stream content to you that you're capable of receiving. Okay? So that's what I'm about to do. I'm about to package up a video, and then I'm going to kind of deliver it with on-demand streaming, okay, smooth streaming. So what I'm about to show you is I'm going to have a job. Okay, so in I've already talked about jobs, but you can create these things called jobs. Jobs have tasks. Okay, and what you can do is a task has got some asset that it's going to work on, and I will connect up to media services. I'll upload an asset. Okay, and then I will do some processing on that asset, and it will create an output asset. Okay, now what's important here is an output asset can actually become an input to another task. So I can chain these tasks together. Okay, so I can have one task that does some encoding and it puts out an asset. I can take that output and I can feed it back into another task, and that task can do something else to it. Okay. So I can have a whole bunch of these tasks chained up inside of jobs. I can then choose whether I want to download the asset completely. So I don't want to stream it out of Azure. I want to actually deliver it from an on-premises server, for instance. Okay. Or I want to just stream it. Right, so let's have a look quickly at how that happens. So if we go back to my machine, over here when you sign up, you'll get install the media services SDK, so you can actually install it from there. I don't know if that link's going to stay there when we come out of preview, but it's there for now. It may just get included in the whole Windows Azure SDK, but for now, click on that. It'll then take you to a download. I'm not going to show you the download, but that's the download there. We'll probably have integration into the web platform installer. Who uses the web platform installer? Okay, cool, a lot of people. For those that don't know, web platform installer is this cool thing that allows you very quickly and easily to download contents that you need for developing applications. It's going to take a while to come up. Why? So we'll leave that in the background. There you go. But basically what you would do is you would look for Windows Azure, for instance. Okay. And if I wanted to do the Windows Azure SDK for Visual Studio 2010, I just hit the button, say add, and then install, and it'll install that plus all the dependencies and get your machine up to speed, which is a nice way of doing it. Cool. So once I have it installed, okay, I will be able to kind of come in here. This is my application. And I'm not going to write piles and piles and piles of code. What I'm going to do is just kind of tell you what I'm doing. So I have a couple of methods here, but we'll walk through each of those. Can everyone see the code at the back? Should I make it a bit bigger? A bit bigger? Ooh, how do I do this without a mouse? There, zoom. 50%. Big enough? Okay. So the first thing that you need to be able to do is add some references. So if I come in here and I go to references, the references that we're looking for in this case is going to be some OData, okay, because we're using a REST API and OData. So you want to be able to add some OData stuff. Then there is the Windows Azure Media Services one that I want. And because we're integrating with storage, we need the Azure Storage Client created as well. So I have them kind of not that. Oh, I have them already. Why am I saying? Anyway, so I have them already. Now, there will be, so this is Ming Fei's blog. So she's the program manager, was originally going to do the talk. I will create a short link for this one, okay? But basically, there she tells you what you need to install. So you need the Azure SDK, you need the Media Services SDK, you need the WCF Data Services and Visual Studio 2010 SP1 or Visual Studio 2012. Okay, and the demo that I'm about to do, it's actually documented on her blog. Okay, so you can actually on her blog. But there are the references that I need. Okay, so if we create, let's just take this now. Oops. All right, I won't do this now because it'll actually take a while, but I'll do it at the end and then I'll put the URLs up. But basically what we're doing is, remember that account name, okay? So the account name for media, so if I go back to the management portal and whatever I call this account name over here, okay, that's the account name that I'm using over here. That key, remember that key that I said that you needed? That key is over there, so copy it out of the portal, put it in there, okay? And in this case, what I'm going to do is I've got some local media on my machine, okay? So here I'm connecting up to media services with my account name and my key, okay? So it's a simple case of creating a new cloud media context. In this case, I'm creating an asset, okay? And the asset is going to be from an input path, okay? We will have, at the moment, that's the only one we support is an input path that's like locally on your machine. But we will be having, the team's working on it soon, you'll be able to have an input path as a blob storage account goal. So in other words, if your video is already in Azure in blob storage, you can use that as an input path into the asset job, okay? Or you'll be able to use something else. If your storage is in S3 or whatever it is, you'll be able to point to a URL and get the media from there. And then basically what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna create an encoding job. So if I come along to this one and I have a look at it over here, all I'm basically doing is I'm saying, media services, create me a job, okay? And I give the job a name. And the name that I give it is what appears in that jobs list that I showed you, okay? And then I'm saying there's a processor, okay? And here I refer to the processor by name. And those names are, again, documented in MSDN. You'll find them somewhere down here. So you'll be able to find them there, okay? There's a link to MSDN of where you can actually find what the names are. But I know there's a processor called MP4 to smooth streaming task, okay? I then read my config file, okay? And that config file that I'm reading looks like this. Remember that template that I showed you? That template had an XML kind of file in it. This is what that template looks like. So basically, I'm pointing it at a template, okay? And the template looks like that. So So that's what that XML file kind of looked like last time around. Okay, it's got some properties and that kind of stuff in it. So I'm pointing it to one of those. And then I'm saying, add that task to the job. Okay, and task input, add the asset. And task output, I'm saying, put it out to an output file. Okay, and then I submit the job. And here I'm checking the progress of the job. So if you go to check progress of the job, you will see that it just does a simple, takes a job ID in, okay, and it asks the job, hey, where are you? Okay, the job will either be finished, queued, scheduled, or processing, or an error. Okay, so basically what's going to happen is, here's my little video. Okay. So short little kind of video of horses running on a beach. Pretty cool. And what I should be able to do is I'm now going to upload that into Azure, do some encoding on it, and create a smooth streaming URL, but I'd be able to stream it from an origin server. Okay, so if I run this, hopefully it all works. I picked a really short little video on purpose because, so it's only a little 564K video. So I'm hoping that it's not going to take too long. Okay, so there you go, job is queued. So it's created the job, it's scheduled the job to run, the job should start now running. Come on. So the job, server side. So it's uploaded the file into my assets. It's created a job that's now executing the job on the server, and the job is doing some encoding. Okay, so in this case, I chose MP4 to smooth streaming. So it used UDP to upload, and that's why the upload was relatively quick. Okay, shouldn't take too much longer. Come on. On a frame by frame basis? So that comes into the on frame by frame kind of encoding. You'll see we've got, and we'll talk about it a bit in the next couple of slides coming up, called live services. So it's actually for live streaming. So it will do encoding and transcoding and formatting and all that kind of stuff on a live feed as it's coming in. This is pre-developed, you know, here's the asset, now stream it for me. But we've got the ability for live streaming capabilities. Yeah. Yeah, so it's a different library. It's not available yet, okay? But the team's actually working on it soon. So we expect live streaming to be part of the preview within the next couple of weeks. Or months, maybe. Before the end of the year, we'll have live streaming capabilities, which is quite cool. So there you go. The job's actually finished. It's just got to do some cleanup stuff. And I should see an output file appear here. I chose not to download it, but what it's given me is a URL. So you can see that URL is, again, another one of our origin servers that runs in Azure. Okay, and there's my smooth streaming manifest. So if I copy that, I'm going to go to another little utility that we've built, which we're using to kind of debug and track what's actually happening and get some diagnostics from your smooth streaming player. So in this case, this is not the video that I've got. This is another one that we've got up there, just to show you the tool kind of working. But basically, this is streaming out of an origin server. And you can see as it streams, I'm getting kind of diagnostics about the quality and the bitrate and the audio buffering and all that kind of stuff. And I can kind of do stuff like this. I can, you know, move it forward, you know, move it back. And you can see there's some streaming information. You can see what the system CPU is doing on the server that's actually streaming this to you. You can see what edge server I'm using. And in this case, I'm not actually using an edge server. But if I was, if I'd switched on CDN, you would see which edge server was serving this to me. You can go in here and you can see logs of the video. You can see, you know, video quality logs. You can see things like, you know, what the sample size is. If I go to trace, you can see kind of trace info that's coming out of there the whole time. Okay. So these are the kinds of diagnostics that we expect to make available. Let me just pause this. So these are some of the diagnostics that we expect to be made available on media services. So you'll be able to get this kind of information of what's happening with your media. So that little clip that I used just now, so if I paste that in and I say play, there's my video, okay? So I uploaded it, encoded it, and streamed it with a simple job and a simple task. And I would have got, because it's such a short video, okay, but there's your CPU load, there's the bit rate, I've got traces and all that kind of stuff. So my video is now there. I can point any Silverlight player, any Adobe video player, I can point any of those at that smooth streaming manifest, and it'll stream for me. So that's pretty cool, I think. Okay, so a recap of media services, okay? It's got, during ingestion, you can encrypt it. You can use fast upload, which is what I used. Those are the encoders that we have out of the box, the encryption we've got out of the box, the manageability, okay? And then the delivery of either on-demand streaming, which is what I'm showing there, or live streaming, okay? So live streaming, we'll talk about live streaming in a sec. So let's talk about the reach. Okay, and this is where media services becomes really powerful, I think, is for Microsoft endpoints, and we have a bunch of different endpoints. Again, they all take different kind of formats and stuff. So Silverlight smooth streaming is, and Dash, Xbox smooth streaming and Dash, Windows 8, okay? But we extend into the non-Microsoft world as well, okay? So we support Flash, iOS, Android. We have porting kits for a bunch of different things, okay? So it's one platform that you can actually reach any device that's available today, HTML5, video playback, whatever you want. All right, so now we'll talk a little bit about live services, okay, and where live services is going to go, because live streaming is actually becoming more and more and more popular. So rather than creating the video, storing it, and then kind of streaming it, we want to be able to stream things live. And Microsoft does live streaming today through the Azure Media Services platform. So you'll watch some of our conferences where we have live streaming. Those are actually being done by media services live streaming. but basically the ability to be able to stream content live through the public cloud, okay? Again, still multi-format output, okay? Global reach, so you can have the video being recorded and being delivered around the world. The nice thing with the cloud and doing it in the cloud is that you don't have to, for a 1 hour kind of, you know, event that you want to live stream, you don't have to go out and kind of build a bunch of infrastructure and set up a bunch of stuff. You just use it when you want to use it. You stream your event for an hour, and when you finish, you tear it down, okay? And you pay for that hour or whatever 2 hour of your event, and off you go, okay? So media services or live streaming is enabling that transition of TV to IPTV, and that's what we saw earlier, okay? So we, for the London 2012 Olympics, we did live streaming of the entire event everywhere around the world except the US. The US had an agreement with Google and YouTube. So therefore, when you were in the US and you wanted to watch the Olympics, you came out of YouTube. But to the rest of the world, French TV and Canadian TV, even in Australia, they were streaming the Olympics live out of Windows Azure Media Services. Now, our live streaming kind of capability is not there yet. So what they were doing is they were encoding it on premises, and then they were giving us the encoded video, and that's what we were streaming. Okay, and it's just because we don't, there's a piece of the component that we don't have yet, which is coming. So we had 500 VMs, 3,000 cores going, okay, for the event over 17 days. It was great. Anyone watch the Olympics online over the web? Couple? Yeah. Where'd you watch it from? Which site? Out of interest. Okay. And was it didn't come out of YouTube? Okay, chances are it was probably out of us. What was the performance like? Reasonable? Good? And the reason, so the gentleman was saying the first time he tried it was a little bit patchy, second time he tried it was better. The reason being behind that is you might have been the first person to hit the particular CDN edge node in your location for that video. Okay. So what it was actually doing is it was going to fetch it from the origin server, bring it down to the CDN, and then serve it to you. Whereas the second time around, you were already on that CDN, and the content was already there, and it could just stream it to you from the edge. Okay. So some key takeaways. For the session, media services easy, flexible, powerful. Okay, you can build your application in media services. You can build an application on top of media services. You can build a new application. You can use existing applications. You pay only for what you use, and components can be mixed and matched. So you can use our encoder and someone else's CDN. You can use our ingestion services and somebody else's streaming services if you want. It doesn't really matter. Okay. The key point is we want to be able to support any media on any device delivered from the cloud. Okay. So a call to action, I think, would be apply for the media services preview. Go to that page, okay, and there will be a link to apply for the preview. This one says based on capacity, qualified applicants will sign up. Okay. But at the moment, we're taking anybody. So go sign in. During preview, media services itself is free. Okay, so we don't charge at the moment for any of the encoding jobs, any of that kind of stuff, the DRM, any of those kind of capabilities. What you will pay for is the storage in Azure. So whatever content or whatever assets you're storing, that you'll get charged. And it's a normal 12.5 cents per gig per month. And you'll get charged for any data leaving our data center. So any streaming data that does leave the data center, you'll be charged again for that. And that's, again, 12.5 cents per gig per month. And that during preview is the only kind of cost that you will incur. Once media services comes out of preview, we haven't yet finalized what the costing model for media services is going to be, but it's likely to be a cost per gig that you process through your job. Okay, so for encoding, transcoding, DRM, all that kind of stuff, there'll be a cost per gig. And if you want to, when you're streaming, you want to buy reserved or dedicated bandwidth, there will be a cost to say, all right, I want to have this amount of committed guaranteed bandwidth, and there will be a charge on top of that for that. And that's what we're thinking about in terms of costing for media services at the moment. That'll be finalized in the next couple of weeks. Before we go GA, it will be announced of what that'll be. So that's pretty much an introduction to media services. If you've got any questions for me, I'll take them outside because we want to be able to switch over to the next session. So come grab me outside, and I'm happy to answer any questions. And if I can't answer them, what I'll do is I'll refer to Ming Fei, and her team will happily answer any of those questions. So what I'm going to do quickly now is create, we've still got a couple of minutes, so let me create those URLs for you guys. So let me sign in here. Okay, so the one we want is this one. Okay, so there's the one. It's called Media Services Demo. We'll put it into. So that's the one. And that's a blog post that she's done about the demo that I did, and she explains all the code in detail. The other one is the Smooth Streaming Health Monitor, which we can do as well, because that's actually quite a cool thing. Now. And the last one is a really good kind of post from her where I got all my content from of what is Windows Azure Media Services. So go and have a look at that as well. Pretty good. Cool. So those three URLs, very useful. So go have a look at those. And if you've got any questions, find me outside, ping me afterwards, and I'll happily put you in touch with the team that that can help you. So thanks for coming to the session. Apologies again that it wasn't Ming-Fei herself doing it. Please fill in the evals, and hope to catch you in the next session. Thank you very much.